In today's episode, I dunk on breakfast pizzas, Mike finds the common denominator, Samantha senses some vibes, and JJ asks about the Chuck Norris cartoon. This is Beetlejuice. I wasn't a spaz kid like Mike, or maybe the subject of today's Funsphere Movie Club movie. Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Lydia. I called it. I'm Lydia.
I'm Beetle Geist.
Beetle Breakfast?
Beetle Drink?
Beetle Drink.
Today we are talking about Beetlejuice. Just say it.
What's that name?
Beetlejuice.
Okay. Say it three times. He shows up.
That's what he did on Community.
Indeed. That I will say that. That is still one of the best, blink and you'll notice jokes that ever happened.
Yeah.
It was well written. All right. For the folks that may not know, Beetlejuice is a 1988 American dark fantasy comedy horror film directed by Tim Burton, starring Alec Baldwin, Gina Davis, Jeffrey Jones, Catherine O'Hara, Winona Ryder, and Michael Keaton as the titular character. Okay. So this is fantastic, Samantha. Excellent. I was gonna say this was your choice, so why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, you know, I love it's a movie that is about ghosts. Okay. Sorry, I have not gotten to cough up all my morning goops yet. it's about ghosts. This couple who dies, and then they are like stuck in their house, and then these crazy people from New York City move in and take down their gross wallpaper, and they're like, "This we cannot have this." So then we find out about the afterlife, and they hire this demon named Beetlejuice, spelled with the constellation, but
that's
then
correct,
respelled as Juice because people are dumb. And
it wouldn't sell as well if they did.
Yeah, it's one of those Mandela effect things. Like, I swear it was called Beetlejuice, like the constellation,
oh,
and then
yeah,
it got respelled. But what do I know? This self-proclaimed bio-exorcist demon to get the people out, and there's hijinks, and it's just a
hijinks ensue.
Goofy fun time.
Okay. That's an excellent excellent synopsis of the film.
That's what
so
about.
This Tim Burton has finally entered the Two Timers Club for Funsphere Movie Club.
He has, that's correct, yes.
The first being
I don't Pee-wee. Know. Oh, Pee-wee, right.
Pee-wee's
right,
Big
right,
Adventure.
No, I mean the first director to get that honor.
Oh right.
Being.
Sir.
I guess that's true, yeah.
No, it's not.
Wait.
You guys can't guess who the first director to enter the Two Timers Club?
I don't know who directed anything.
It was Lynch. It was David Lynch.
David Lynch,
that's
right. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, right. Dune and Wild at Heart. Okay. Yeah, okay. So yep. we like this. We only watch
Wild at Heart.
So, whatever.
Spoiler. I was going to say, well, we can do serious movies. I'm going to pick Schindler's List for the next one.
That's fine. I saw that in high school. We had to watch it.
Had to watch
it. Did you make out during it?
No.
You made out during Schindler's List?
I'm not Jerry Seinfeld.
Like Seinfeld?
The Skid's apartment has one of those like intercoms to buzz people up, so every time I feel like, who is it? Come on up.
Okay.
Crack the door open.
Yep. All right. So, Samantha, when did you become familiar with this? Because you're the youngest of us here, so I'm interested to hear your history with the film.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I know as a kid I loved the cartoon.
Okay.
I loved the cartoon. I don't know which I saw first. I remember when I became like, I remember watching the movie one time after having watched the cartoon a lot and being confused by the relationship between Beetlejuice and Lydia because they're like best friends in the cartoon, and in the movie, obviously they're not. And that was before I understood spinoffs. And I think Delia in it is like her actual mom. So I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But I do not know. I feel like probably my mom wanted to watch it. My mom probably showed it to me at some point.
Okay.
And I don't know. It's just something it's just always kind of been there. Beetlejuice. Like,
it's
haunting
me.
It's
always for me, too.
Like... But yeah, I don't know. And then I just it's just like one of those movies that I randomly want to watch, and then I watch it like 100 times in a month or something. Like I just watch it on loop, kind of like Labyrinth.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I loved the cartoon, and I liked the movie. I just liked the property, I guess.
All right, JJ, what about you?
Yeah, kind of the same. I saw the movie in the theaters, and because I'm old. but then, you know, I was still pretty young when it came out, so I didn't get most of the references and kind of how Beetlejuice acts, like everything that he does in the movie. And then, like, even watching it last night, seeing there's a spinoff cartoon. Samantha's point, she watched the cartoon, but then it's like, oh, it's about this kind of like a pervy old ghost, you know? And so, which I still find it kind of amazing that they were able to make a cartoon based off of that guy alone. But with that said, I watched it. And then past that, I loved everything Tim Burton did from Pee-wee's first, and then Batman, which I loved the Batman after that. So, I saw it in the theaters, loved it. It was just kooky. I didn't quite get what he was trying to do. I didn't know he was copying the old B movies or whatever, because I didn't really watch any of those growing up. And then, and just started watching everything he's done since then.
Gotcha. Mike, what about you?
Pretty similar to Samantha. It's just, I don't know if it got regular play on basic cable or what.
But I know
it's something that I did. It was just always around.
Okay.
And, of course, I was always a big Tim Burton fan. I think he was the first director that I became actively interested in. Mm-hmm. Once I realized that, oh, he's the common denominator of all my favorite movies growing up.
Gotcha.
I think me too. I think he was my first favorite director.
Yeah, because I mean, Pee-wee has always been number one for me, but then Nightmare Before Christmas was pretty big.
Yeah,
he did not direct Nightmare Before Christmas,
but it's his. He didn't. Okay, Henry Selick, right? Like Coraline, but
it was
his thing. You know,
he was heavily involved.
Yes, true.
That's another one.
And this movie, of course.
Yep.
Batman, of course.
Okay. All right. So, actually, I'm a lot like Samantha in the fact that I am much more familiar with the cartoon than I was the movie at first. Because I definitely remember watching the cartoon, like, all the time. Actually, I even, after watching the movie, I popped on the cartoon.
Yeah, it's free on Tubi now.
Yeah.
I need to go back and watch it. I had some of the toys.
Yeah, I was thinking about the toys too, because to a point that JJ brought up, there were a lot of weird cartoons that were made out of 80s movies. This being one of them, I'm thinking of
Ghostbusters.
Also Ghostbusters.
Toxic Crusaders.
Toxic Crusaders. Rambo. RoboCop.
Now, Rambo, I didn't know about.
Yes, Rambo. It's amazing we never got a Terminator and or Aliens TV show somehow. They had toy lines though. Both
they
of them.
They had the Chuck Norris figures. The what the
karate
not Delta Force. Oh yeah,
Karate Commandos.
Was that with both K's in it? Or am I
wrong?
Yeah,
I think it was. Yeah.
I think RoboCop is still the most surprising targeted towards kids.
Yes, especially
like the video game and all the toys. Can you imagine being a kid and watching that movie?
I don't have to. I was because I was a
kid. Yeah, it's like playing Platoon on the NES. Yeah. Oh, I think I'm gonna watch this movie.
What was I gonna say regarding the Beetlejuice cartoon?
So I will say
it's got Mork and Mindy vibes. That's what I was gonna say. It's a lot like Mork and Mindy, and especially since Beetlejuice needs to just calm down with the puns for like 2 seconds. like just be quiet.
I'm gonna say I think that may have been the best like sequel cartoon to the film because it plays out very much like the movie. Like they even bothered to animate the house exactly like it looks in the film. So that I found very interesting, especially like because you know they would cut corners and you can see how different the Ghostbusters cartoon was versus the film, obviously, and stuff like that.
Well, Tim Burton actually produced the cartoon as well.
Oh, he did. I did not know that. Oh,
yeah,
excellent.
Danny Elfman did the theme song. It's good. I like. But yeah, it was so hard. And the Maitlands are not in it or mentioned. I don't think ever.
No, I don't think they are. But like, it seems like it's a sequel because the family lives there. But they also like it's retcon because it seems like. What is it? Delia is or not Delia? Yeah, she's way different than she is in the film.
Yeah,
and then Lydia is like—is she a little kid in that?
She's.
Show?
I think she's supposed to be 12. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like they de-aged her, but yeah, her best friend Beetlejuice, and I was like, so I was watching the film, and I was like, why are they calling it the other world instead of the nether world or something like that? The neither world, that's what they call it in the cartoon. So I was like,
yeah. Oh. It's confusing when you're a kid and you're like, I don't understand how these are the same thing.
Yeah. And to Mike's point, this was one of those films that was constantly playing on Comedy Central. Constantly on Comedy Central. That and PCU. It was... those two films were constantly on early Comedy Central. So that's why I think of it from basic cable, too. And I gotta admit something. Out of like all the '80s movies, this is the one I revisit like the least, and I don't know why. There's nothing I dislike about the film, but it's like, I'd rather watch Big than Beetlejuice. I'd rather watch The Goonies than Beetlejuice. I'd always down to watch RoboCop, but for some reason, this is one that's like I come back to it every. Let's say 5 to 10 years and watch it. I think I've only seen it like an actual copy, not on TV. Let's say maybe 3 or 4 times. And that's going all the way back to like being on VHS. So I don't know why this one just doesn't really like. It just doesn't stick with me for some reason. Like I said, there's nothing I can point to in the film that's like, oh. So I got one. I'll watch Howard the Duck more than this.
Skid loves that movie. He saw it when he was a teenager or something. I don't remember, but like
I saw it as a kid, so that's why I always think of Howard the Duck. Again, 1980s films were not appropriate for children for the most part. Howard the Duck is not appropriate for children.
Don't they say? In Big, they have, like, that movie's rated PG, right? And they have one, like, mega swear. I can't remember if it's fuck or shit, but I remember watching it, and I was like, they said that? This is rated PG!
I've been looking...
I mean, Beetlejuice had fuck.
Yep.
He said nice fucking model, it got, like, honked over, though.
Yes. Well, he honks after. Well, I think they Yeah.
Did they censor it? No. He gets fuck. He gets to say one fuck.
Yeah. I was looking. Is this rated PG-13 or PG? Because it's not like that's what I'm looking. I cannot find the answer to for some reason.
It has to be rated PG-13 now. Beetlejuice.
Now there is a censored fuck in the trailer for the new one.
There's an uncensored fuck also in the movie. Spoilers.
Did you already see
it? Yeah, I watched it on Thursday.
It says it's PG-13, but the questions afterwards is Beetlejuice good for a 10-year-old? And then PG-13 good for 7-year-olds. And to Josh's point, yes, it was the 80s at the time.
Well, when I was watching the sequel, next to me was a mom and her, like, 4-year-old.
Okay, well, like, at that age, they don't really, like, retain.
He was very, as soon as he saw Beetlejuice, he was like, that's the movie we watched. That's that guy. I'm like.
Oh, no.
And there was a part when there was, like, I'm not going to say who was doing it, but when some kissing was happening, he was closing his eyes like this.
Hands in front of the eyes, the classic kid.
And then Samantha turned around and said, somebody better shut that kid
up. He was right next to me. At first I was like, oh, I like watching a movie next to a little kid. I like, because they like enjoy them a lot, you know? So like, that'll be fun. But then he would not stop talking to his mom and he just would not shut up. And I was like,
it's like he was 4 years old or something.
Yeah, like he was 4 years old. He may have been older. I don't know his age. He was just very little.
He was a grown man.
He was very excited about pizza.
Who is it? I'm excited about pizza right now, and I just had breakfast.
I have not eaten.
Breakfast pizza?
Pizza in the morning? Okay.
All right, I'm just going to say
was it on a bagel?
That was the ultimate letdown as a kid. I remember when that first started getting advertised and we begged my parents to get that. And then we got it and we're like, this is disgusting.
You didn't like pizza bagels? You don't like how hard they are and hot forever?
No, and breakfast pizza is disgusting. Along with breakfast burritos.
I thought you were
breakfast pizza is not gross.
I like breakfast burritos a lot because I don't like normal burritos.
Wow.
Can't have both.
That is a conversation starter right there. So hold up.
I'm not a big fan of beans.
Okay.
Refried beans are fine, but I don't like eating whole beans.
And whole beans?
Whole beans.
Like black beans and stuff. Like I'm just.
That just makes me think of Mickey and the Beanstalk, where they're shaving that one single bean down into slivers.
I would eat a sliver of a bean. I'm just not a big bean fan.
Gosh, I can drink them from a can.
Yeah, I really like beans.
It was hard living in California. Because
I hate baked beans.
I don't like beans very much.
How far did you make it in Red Dead 2, Mike? I mean, that's pretty much the majority of your diet in that game is baked
beans.
You don't have
to eat them in real life.
Just get disgusted playing the game.
This game was a 10 out of 10 until
breaking my immersion. I would never eat this.
I can see it now. Mike's playing it. Then the beans comes up. He just throws the controller against the wall. Uninstalls the game. Throws the console out the door. It's just great.
Starts a review bombing campaign.
That's right.
It just says beans.
It's great. Game was fantastic until the beans showed up and ruined everything. I don't know why modern media's got to keep pushing its bean agenda on us.
Shove a beans down my throat.
It's like Final Fantasy 15, where they have the cup noodles.
Yeah.
So we got some cup noodles, and I was like, these aren't bad. And then I looked at the back, and it said that there's cabbage broth in there.
You're dead.
And I was immediately disgusted never tried them again. No.
In broth form.
And just knowing that they're using distilled juice from the cabbage.
You don't like kimchi?
No, I've never tried it.
So what juice sounds better, distilled juice or Beetlejuice?
Which would you drink, Mike? Yeah.
beetle drink?
The juice of a beetle.
Oh. Well, Beetlejuice will eat anything you want him to eat, and he'll swallow anything you want him to swallow. He says that in the commercial. I don't know why that those two lines are the funniest to me in the whole movie. I think like that being his big selling point is so funny to me.
Well, and the fact that he, and I don't know, I might be wrong, he ad-libbed most of that script.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll eat anything you want me to eat. I'll swallow anything. I'll chew on a dog.
The thing that, like, when it comes to the movies, like, I always thought he was, like, in it way more than he actually is in the film. Like, when you rewatch it, you're like,
oh, yeah, he's
he doesn't really show up until a third of it, and he's really not important in the middle, but he definitely takes over the end.
Yeah.
That was great. So you guys ready to hear some wild trivia? Do you know who? So JJ knows who the original choice for to play Beetlejuice was. JJ, why don't you tell him?
Sammy Davis Jr.
What?
Right. Yeah.
How could he? He's why? Busy in The Nanny. Later in life.
I don't know.
When did he die? I thought he died.
It wouldn't matter. Beetlejuice is dead.
That's what the whole movie's about. Could have been great in it.
Hey, babe, it's Beetlejuice.
So, go ahead, Josh. Sorry.
Go ahead, JJ.
So I was thinking about that because I don't remember how Sammy Davis talks. I can only go back to the In Living Color skit. They were acting as Ghost, the movie Ghost. And I always say, sha-boing, boing, boing. That's all I have. So, I can think Beetlejuice saying sha-boing, boing, boing for 13 minutes would be great.
Sammy Davis Jr. trying to marry young Winona Ryder.
also rans for the role, Dudley Moore of Arthur fame, and Sam Kinison. Now that could have worked.
He just seems like
I only
go on.
Oh, go for
no,
it.
No, I can't.
Well, I was gonna say I can only think of Dudley Moore in the Santa Claus movie.
Oh yeah, I also love that movie. Wow. Let's see here. So then I guess Keaton came on, and then Burton liked him so much he made him Batman.
Good.
Yep.
That worked out.
There was also quite a few people that tried out for Lydia that were famous. Sarah Jessica Parker, Brooke Shields, Lori Loughlin, Diane Lane, Justine Bateman, excuse me, Molly Ringwald. Justin Bateman. Juliette Lewis and Jennifer Connelly.
I read that Kirstie Alley was one of their top picks that they wanted.
Delia?
But, Lydia.
Oh, damn.
But the producers of Cheers wouldn't let her out of her contract to do it.
She couldn't have been Lydia then. She'd way too old.
I was going to say, yeah.
It had to have been for the mom.
Yeah, maybe so.
Alyssa Milano was the next runner-up. So check this out, though. Angelica Houston was originally cast as Delia.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
That would have worked, but yeah, she got sick and had to drop out.
Well, then she got to be Morticia, and I think that's better. I mean, I can't imagine not Catherine O'Hara.
Correct. I can't either. Okay. That's kind of it. So apparently, this movie was kind of made for Tim Burton to prove to Warner Brothers that he could handle Batman. Because, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently, like, so he got originally offered the Batman film right after Pee-wee's Big Adventure. But all of his ideas kept, you know, he would bring them to Warner Brothers and they wouldn't greenlight it. They wouldn't fund it, essentially. And they're like, look, you've not really handled a movie with any stars. So they gave him this movie and he made it. And he's like, look, I can handle it with big name stars, because there's a lot of big name stars at the time in this film. And then he got to make Batman.
Oh. I This is more about the story and not about that. But I always thought that the way Barbara and Adam died was like really pathetic, because they were going like 2 miles an hour, and they swerved to miss that dog, and then like that bridge wasn't very high.
No, nor just, was like, the water very deep.
No, they just like didn't try to get out. Like, it was deep enough that it didn't like smash the car immediately. But like, they're just like, oh well, I guess we're dead now.
Yep, I think that's kind of.
I.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was gonna say I didn't catch it when we were watching it, but I read it in the trivia that they apparently have a bumper sticker that says "I break for animals."
They didn't though. They swerved.
I can see. Well, I think that's maybe just a little bit of the point, is that their death is just kind of absurd, because that's the whole point, is that death is absurd.
Yeah, I just thought it was lame. Every time, you know, I watch it, I'm like, how did they die?
Like, there's that lady that has the voice, or she has that crazy voice, and they say, look, we're unhappy. And she's like, what do you expect? You're dead.
Juno.
Yeah. Okay, so I just got
my favorite line was the coach. I don't think we made it out of that crash.
I'm not your coach. He survived. So here's the thing that also, just as a kid, never really tracked for me. I don't get why, as a ghost, if you leave the place you are assigned to haunt, I guess, you go to Saturn and then in run into sandworms? Was it just like, I need to do some weird stop motion animation besides all the scary ghosts and stuff like that? So yeah, Saturn, sandworms.
I think it was just to like have a reason to trap them in the house.
I guess so.
And maybe also, yeah, he just wanted to make the sandworms a thing.
they were all, I mean, Dune has sandworms, this has sandworms, Star Wars has sandworms. There's so many sandworms in the 80s.
So everyone from the 80s grew up being afraid of sandworms, and everyone who grew up in the 90s is afraid of quicksand. I don't know why sand is such a thing.
First off, Sarlaccs are not sandworms.
They're worms in the sand.
Kind of. No, they're a pit in the sand.
With they teeth. Got dang old worm mouth.
Yeah. Mm.
They're stationary worms.
Yeah, so dang old wormy. Like, that's like Concerned Ape trying to say that the wormies in Stardew are roots. They're wormies. This movie, also like Labyrinth, is one where I remember watching it when I was younger and thinking that Winona Ryder looked like a grown-up, and I watch now and I'm like, oh, she's just a little tiny baby child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, was she a teenager during the filming of
this
film?
She was 15. I watched a lot of press recently for Beetlejuice 2, and okay. I now know a lot about Beetlejuice first one. I also know that her dream is for Lydia and Beetlejuice to end up together. She said it in like 2 different interviews, which I was like, that's fun.
That's fun. So,
I can get behind it.
You mentioned, Samantha, you mentioned you watched this film like you'll watch it over and over and over again. Has that always been, like, since you were a kid, or, like, later
yes.
in life? Okay.
My mom said I watched 101 Dalmatians a million times. Like, every day I just asked to watch it over and over again, so.
Every kid has that film. I was going to ask, what were your films? I can tell you, mine was Return of the Jedi. My younger brother's was American Tail, Five Will Goes West. And my youngest brother's was Gordy.
Gordy, the better Babe. I always loved Gordy more than Babe as a kid. I don't think it's actually a better movie, but as a kid, I liked Gordy a lot more than Babe.
Yes, Gordy was watched until the VHS snapped. I was going to say, what was yours, Mike? I bet you had one.
I didn't.
Really?
Yeah, and honestly, I think it bothered me more because my sister did that growing up. Like, she would come home from school every day and watch Romeo and Juliet or Moulin Rouge.
Okay.
And it was the same movie, and I could never understand it. I was like, I don't want to rewatch the movie until I forget about it. Like, I can't watch it knowing what happens. It, I don't know. It just, I would get really bored and want to do something else. So I never, I mean, even stuff I love, like Pee-wee's Big Adventure, there would still be a few years in between me watching it.
That's interesting. What about you, JJ? Do you have one of those?
Yeah, I think we've already talked about them. Breaking 2, The Electric Boogaloo, and The Last Dragon on repeat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are films you can watch anytime. And you should, like, every other day. You should, like, rotate.
I was going to say, I haven't stopped watching.
That's true.
We've got one of those hall monitors that just has it on loop.
Yep. Oh, wow. Now you're giving me ideas. I was like, maybe I should do that. Just put up a screen and just like have those, like a couple of movies just constantly on loop so I can walk by.
It'll be just like a GameStop. You can listen to the same clip from Big Bang Theory for like 4 months or more and then switch it out with another one.
God, I remember working at the Clinton Highway store back when we still had a GameCube demo unit, and they would always send like little discs that would play stuff just on loop, but it was the same like 3 or 4 commercials. It was like whatever they made a Curious George game based on that movie that Will Ferrell did.
Yeah.
And then it was like the some Sonic racing game that had the most obnoxious song.
Sonic Colors? The colors around.
It was just something like Super Sonic Speed. But every day it was fighting to not just knock the whole thing over.
That's retail as a whole. Either like they have the music that's constantly on repeating in the exact same order over and over again, or like that. I don't know which would be worse. So I'm going to bring it up. Is the idea of being trapped in a house for 125 years, was that the sentence?
Yeah.
JJ? Okay, yeah. JJ brought it up earlier. So mm-hmm. I was like, does that not just sound horrible?
No.
Like, I would hate to be trapped into my house for 125 years. I pay money to live here.
I thought about it. If because they could like manipulate physical objects and stuff. I was like, I would just play Overwatch for a long time and be the best because I wouldn't have any body to get in the way, right? So I wouldn't have to go to the bathroom or walk around or do anything. Like I could just play Overwatch and become the best Overwatch player and then be like, this best Overwatch player is a ghost.
I was just thinking, like, what if they had an article that's like, top Overwatch player revealed to be a specter from beyond the grave. It's like you hear about, like, certain things are like bots playing and stuff like that. Now we got ghosts and bots to worry about? Oh, boy. Yeah.
Like, you're cheating. I'm not. I'm just dead.
Well, they kind of gloss over what all is involved in making yourself known.
Yeah.
Because they were like, some people can see you, some can't. You have to be strange. But then it seemed like once they got brought into their wedding dresses, from that point on, they were able to be seen by everybody.
Yeah, I think once they are perceived and then like, because they say not can't see but won't. They say that specifically.
Yeah.
So I think once the parents like were like, okay, these are real and we've perceived them. Then it was like, well, we know they're there, so we can see them. We will see them, I guess. That's how I took that.
We're dissecting the film.
But as far as like manipulating, I'm just thinking like, would you be able to manipulate the controller to interact with people online in a ghost state.
Yeah, well, Gina Davis picked up that little horse and made it move, and they also cut holes in the sheets, so it seems like they can do stuff.
The $300 sheets.
That's $300 right. Sheets that were ugly. It was the 80s, whatever.
Okay, so Samantha, based off of that, so you're able to manipulate objects, play Overwatch, 125 years. When does the family that's currently living in the house say, listen, you're going to have to pay some kind of rent here. We know.
Yeah. Our energy bill's through the roof.
No, see, that's what I, this is like ignoring the, also this is an apartment complex. All my stuff will be gone, but, well, you should see the next movie. Okay. Yeah, whatever. I'm just saying, like, that's a thought I had. I don't think I'd care though. Just be like one, and you can keep going to the. You can just draw the door and go hang out in the other world if you want to. You just can't always meet with Juno.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, or what about if you happen to get a say a live stream account, mm-hmm. and they reach out to you, and you're like, mm-hmm. but they have to want to see me. So then it's just nobody playing, or someone actually playing.
Or they just see a controller, like, moving, like it's on a stream.
First of all, they would see a mouse. Oh, mouse sorry. And keyboard. Guys. And I don't know. Like, it'd be funny, wouldn't it? Like, just playing games and then, like, do a face reveal. And then it's just a chair. And they're like, where are you? And I type, like, a message. You have to... want to see
you have to say my name 3 times.
Yeah,
and then you're gonna have to think of like something you can do to make. You can't use Beetlejuice obviously because that's not your name, but you could be like how would
I would have them in this world Beetlejuice is real, so I would just tell them that name and then have them summon him.
Gotcha.
Okay. Or I would summon him so they could, because I don't know what his deal is. He seems like wholly visible.
Yes, that was always something that kind of bothered me as a kid about this. It's like, all right, so Beetlejuice can come into the world and everybody can see him. I was like, is he not a ghost? Is he something else?
They call him a demon quite a bit. I think he's just really powerful because he can like freeze people. He can do all kinds of stuff. He's got like magic powers.
Yeah, he's the ghost with the most.
Yeah.
True.
I think he's just really strong.
Oh. All right. Anybody?
Not as strong as Gina Davis summoning that sandworm.
That's true.
True.
Yeah, and so if you leave the house and you're on Saturn, how do they bring Saturn back into the house?
Well, she rode the sandworm through the door. Floor.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Floor door. I will say, I'm trying not to spoil things about the sequel.
I will say I did like the fact that the family decided to make a buck as soon as they were confronted with ghosts. Instead of being like, oh, what do we do to get him out of the house? We're like, no, how do we get that money? I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's what...
That's that New York hustle.
It is. They had investors. They were going to buy the entire town and turn it into an amusement park.
Yeah, that's Charles Dietz, the sex offender. That's all I can think about when I see him.
It does. Once you know that fact, again, Howard the Duck.
Who?
Yeah, the guy that played Lydia's dad is a
pet PDF file.
I was going to say, jeez. I don't know his exact.
It was underage.
Yep. Like I said, it ruins that. It ruins Howard the Duck. I mean, I don't know how you could ruin that cinematic masterpiece, but...
yeah, every time he was near Winona, I'm like, get away from her!
Son of a bitch!
Everyone thinks Beetlejuice is the predator, but it's the dad.
Oh, and also I was going to say, it's Ferris Bueller. He's also in Ferris Bueller.
And Deadwood.
What? He's in Deadwood?
Yeah, he's the newspaper guy.
I don't think I made it all the way through Deadwood for some reason.
It's only 2 seasons. Remember.
Yeah, and that's why I was. Yeah, that's why I was surprised. I remember liking it when it first came on, but
probably too many beans.
Probably.
That's Mike's reason for never watching it.
Bang. Brings.
Mike just immediately slams off the TV, throws the TV out the door. Angela's like, we can't keep replacing all these devices. Learn to love beans.
Or at least tolerate the sight of them.
Or tolerate them.
You could use the extra fiber.
Wow.
Our toilet, it can't take it anymore, please. Some fiber.
This movie has taken us places, folks. It
hey,
really
has. I forgot. I have to tell a story that is second or third hand. I don't know. Anyway, I guess Skid had this friend in acting class who was in The Crucible with Winona Ryder. Okay. And apparently there was like a big dust-up on set between Winona's manager and the director, because the director wanted to like dirty her face up, Winona's face up, but and she was like willing to do it, from what I heard the story. But the manager said that there's like some like special clause in her contract where her face can never be messed up. Like, she always has to look pretty. So they were fighting about that. Skid's friend Amy started laughing. Winona turns around and goes, "It's not funny, Amy." So I also think of that every time I see Winona Ryder. But I really like this movie. Did you guys notice the Chinese food they were eating was called like O'Malley's or something?
Yeah.
like O'Malley's authentic Chinese.
Nothing like that Irish Chinese food. Great. No beans in there.
Only potatoes.
Potatoes. And whiskey. It's great. Okay. Anything else left to say about this film?
I love Otho, and that actor has such a tragic story.
Oh, really?
William Blood Chaddix. Well, he had a lot of... So, he just was so unlucky. So, he apparently bought his dream house in New Orleans and renovated it. Got to live in it for 2 years before it was destroyed by Katrina. And then he had a lot of health problems, and he had to, like, be in a wheelchair. Aww. And how he died was he fell out of his chair and hit his head.
Oh. Aww. Sad.
It's so sad. And apparently he was just, like, a really nice, great guy all around.
Yeah, I remember when he... I remember when he died, a lot of people were like... A lot of people in Hollywood were like, that guy was so great. He was the nicest guy. It's like what people say about Freddy Krueger. Or the guy that plays him. Also, I just got to real quick say, it's freaking weird seeing Robert Goulet as an actor.
And Dick Cavett?
Yes. Also, that's right. Dick Cavett was here as well.
So, some of the trivia I saw, it was apparently his idea to get the shrimp scene to work.
Okay.
Because they couldn't get something right with like the timing or the way that it was supposed to match up, and he was like, "Why don't you shoot it and then do it in reverse?"
Oh.
And that's how they were able to get it done.
Ooh.
Wow.
It's just it's such a bizarre story to imagine Dick Cavett just casually giving. advice on how to shoot a scene.
Hey, the man knows.
Because I'm only familiar with him being a talk show host.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you have to work all night on a drink of rum.
Oh, and with that, I think we'll call it here, folks. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.